thermal sound wave.
It's thermal sound waves, a natural alternative to fast food radio. Yeah. We here, C-Truth, Kev Lawrence. Right about now, it's with great honor that we welcome this gentleman on our program who is part of Hip Hop 50. He was one of the people that was there in the early stages.
Absolutely.
Doing his thing, coming straight out of Mount Vernon, New York.
Money earning.
Absolutely. He's a producer, a DJ, a songwriter, executive, entrepreneur, all types of hats that this brother wears, man. He does a lot of different things. He's been involved with people like Tupac, Mary J. Blige, Donald Jones.
Of course.
Eric Sermon, Miss Jones, Usher, Guy, LL Cool J, Angie Stone, Jay-Z. Of course, Heavy D.
TV shows.
Absolutely. TV shows. He's been an executive.
Who is it, though?
Uptown Records.
Who is it?
Motown.
Who?
We're talking about none other than the incomparable DJ Eddie F.
DJ Eddie F.
How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm great. After that introduction, I'm fantastic.
No question.
Listen,
no
you
question.
Deserve it, man. Like, you're like one of the hidden heroes.
Yeah, man.
Behind a lot of this stuff.
You've had your hands in, like, many trends in music and sounds, I should say, sounds in music that many people have danced to, have made children to.
Yeah.
And many other memories, too, you know?
Wow, you said, that's right. People made children to him. They didn't realize it. Yeah. Wow. That's...
Absolutely.
It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing, man. You know, just coming from a DJ perspective first, just the love of the music, you know. And coming from, you know, New York in Mount Vernon, which is right next to the Bronx. And hip-hop started in the Bronx. So just being part of watching from then to now, you know, something that started locally in New York and now hip-hop being just a global music form. That in itself is just incredible.
You know, you mentioned that hip-hop started in the Bronx. Hip-hop started in New York and just all over. However, Westchester, Mount Vernon has an intricate part in just the music scene, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just music, just life, period. You had a lot of famous judges that came out of Mount Vernon. You had Felicia Rashad.
Yep. Felicia Rashad. I mean, if you go back.
Which is Mrs. Cosby.
Right. And before that, you got Dick Clark.
Yes.
Which you know.
America Bandstand. And also the ball drop of New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve. And the Golden Globes was his production, too.
He's from the Vernon. Shout out to the Vernon. Yeah. Who else we got from the Vernon? Let's go down the list.
Oh, man. Oh,
come on. Let's do a Vernon roll call. People don't understand this.
Denzel Washington.
That's right.
Now, and Denzel Washington is very funny because Denzel Washington lived on a place called Mundy Lane. One side is the Bronx and the backyard is like Mount Vernon or vice versa.
Yep. Yep.
The shout out to the 16 bus. Everybody knows about that 16 bus. It is. Yeah, that's the border. He was like, I'm both, which is cool. Shout out to Mount St. Michael also, too.
And exactly. Exactly. Puff went to Mount St. Michael. Diddy went to Mount St. Michael.
Now, hold on. Eddie F. Come on now. Come on now, Eddie F. You causing problems already, Eddie F.
So wait.
He knows what he's doing right now.
So wait, Puff ain't from Harlem then?
Well, yeah, he's from Harlem too.
Eddie F, stop. 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 No. Eddie F, stop.
Let me explain.
Anytime somebody says, let me explain, you know they got to formulate your story.
You're going to get it right after I tell you. So, you know, you can have immediate family somewhere, and then you could also be raised somewhere else that's right nearby. So, you know, Harlem.
He just laughed.
Harlem and Mount Vernon ain't nothing but, you know, 15 minutes away, depending on how you drive.
DJ Eddie F. DJ Eddie F. You are running around the bush. Right? DJ Eddie F. Stop. Puff Sean Combs, Puff Daddy.
Now known as Diddy.
Yeah. Whatever, he's from Mount Vernon. Claim him.
Yeah, well, he's definitely from the Vernon, but, let me say this.
He never really came outside as a kid.
Let me explain what I mean. I know he's from the Vernon. He came to parties in the Vernon. What's interesting is he went to school at Mount St. Michael. And from what I hear from my
Bronx.
Man, Tim Patterson, he used to stay with him in Mount Vernon. They grew up together, but I can't speak to the other part. Like, I don't know, like, his aunts, you know, his mom. I don't know exactly where they were at, so I could never say that. No, I'm being real.
Oh,
I'm
no, it's with respect.
So I can't.
Family.
So I can't say he's not from Harlem because I don't know what family he might have had in Harlem, and he might have been bouncing back and forth. That's
got
why.
You. Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Got
so
you.
I'm never going to say. Who am I to say? I mean, you have to ask him. I don't know. I'm gonna put it to you like this. I saw him in Mount Vernon, but then I also know he went to Mount St. Michael. He didn't go to Mount Vernon High School. So that in itself makes it where, okay, why did he go to Mount St. Michael? Was he a resident of the city, kind of? Like, I don't know. I'm just being honest with you.
No, we got you. We got you.
So I give him that. I give him the Harlem Mount Vernon because, you know, Harlem and Mount Vernon got a lot of similarities. Harlem, Mount Vernon, and Queens are kind of like similar. Like Mount Vernon is a little bit of Harlem, a little bit of Queens. You know what I mean? It's like it has the flavor of both. So I can't say I can't say he don't have roots.
We're gonna leave it.
Let me break it down even a step further. Let me go a step further. Yo, and this is real. And again, man, I don't wanna be. I'm gonna say this, but I'm not the authority. I'm not trying to be like I'm an expert on Puff's family and all that. But let me just say this: when you watch, everybody watch like Dead Presidents, the movie, and you had like, you know, Frank Lucas, you had Nicky Barnes, there was a lot of. If you watch the movie, they talking about they was in the Bronx in Harlem, but then they talking about yeah, my cousin is up in Mount Vernon. You know what I'm saying? So it's like. It all was like a real tight circle, and I know
absolutely.
You know, I know Puff. I know Puff's Puff's dad used to, you know, run with that crew.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You see what I'm saying? It's not far fetched to say he's from Mount Vernon and Harlem at the same time because you don't know, and we don't know. We don't know. Weekends, mom, was you with the dad? Like, was you with the aunt? Like, we don't know. So, how?
Shout out to co-parenting. We got you. Right. Shout out to co-parenting.
No doubt.
Exactly. So, yeah, man. So, now that we cleared that up.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about hip hop.
Let's move on.
And this is fact. And I got this straight from Red Alert. And for those that don't know, I know a lot of people know Red Alert, you know, Radio Red Alert and Red Alert, but not everybody knows Red Alert, the pioneer that was one of the original DJ crews with Bambada, Jazzy J, and Red Alert. They were like a crew, Zulu Nation crew. Red Alert told me out of his own mouth. Now, I know Mount Vernon was involved in hip hop early in the beginning because I lived down the street from a park called Brush Park, and I used to hear the loud music and the block parties. I would go up there. I was young. I was 8 years old, 9 years old, little kid. You know, like, you know, just looking around. I wasn't, you know, that was before I even thought about. I wanted to be a DJ, but I was too young to be anything. But Red told me one day I was talking to Red. We were up at Sirius Radio, and he says, "Yeah, man, my half brother, Kenny J. You know he's down with the Collins Brothers." I said, "Yo,
shout out to the Collins Brothers."
I said, "Wow." I said, "That's the missing link." So he said, "Yeah, you know me. That's me, Bam, and Jay. We used to come up there all the time. We used to rock in the park, Brush Park." And I said, "Wow." I said, "That's it. That's the missing link." Between the Bronx and Mount Vernon, Red Alert's half brother was in the Collins Brothers. So that means while Red was getting going with Bam and Jazzy J, his half brother was rocking at the same time in Mount Vernon. So, Red Alert told me this. So I'm like, ain't nobody more official than Red saying, "Yo, I was rolling with Bam and Jay, and my brother was in the Collins Brothers, and we would come up there and we would rock with them in the park." I'm like, who going to deny that? And if y'all and if anybody want to dispute it, yo, go ask Red Alert yourself. He told me.
We got you. We definitely respect Uncle Red, man, up here. And congratulations to him for celebrating 40 years in this game.
Absolutely.
Doing it at a high level. It's Thermal Sound Waves, the natural alternative to radio. We hear C-Truth, Kev Lawrence.
That's correct.
Talking to the man himself, you know what I'm saying, the legend, DJ Eddie F.
Eddie F.
Now, we were talking about some things earlier as far as like some memories, you know, within this game, but you got some new product that's out right now.
Oh yeah.
Eddie F Presents. Tell us about that and some of the people that you have on there. We've been spending some of those joints too, man. From JJ, Miss Jones, of course, Eric Sermon and Benton.
Yeah, man. So what I'm doing, man, is so when I look at my career, right, and I look at all the artists, either people that I worked with, that I, you know, signed as artists, put out their projects, or just produced or remixed songs, I have a track record of helping people get their projects or their career started. Whether it's, you know, I remixed the first single with TLC, Ain't You Proud to Beg. You know, they were having problems at Urban Radio. You know, the record was going pop. But if you know that song, you know it's like it's really loud and abrasive. It has that Ain't Too Proud to Beg. And they were having a problem at Urban Radio. So L.A. Reid, who I was already a fan of, L.A. and Babyface, called me, asked me, you know, to do a remix. Did a remix, gold single. You know, that helped launch, you know, LaFace, because that was the first successful
act. Hold on. You can't do that. Let's rewind a little bit. So the remix that you did for TLC, Ain't Too Proud to Beg, is that the song that people think is the original song?
No. Because they don't play the remix as much now. Now they just play the album version. But back, and that was also the video version. But when I did the song, there was a remix, Smoothed Out remix. You can find it on YouTube.
Right.
Oh yeah, I've definitely heard it.
But that was the urban version, because it was smoothed out and R&B radio played it. It was a gold single. It was number one single, gold single. I also did Rub You the Right Way for Johnny Gill.
With CL Smooth on the
Yep.
Yes.
For CL Smooth, which, by the way, was the first remix that featured a rapper that was not on the original song. Like, that's the first time that a song was remixed, changed all the music, and put a rapper on the song that was never on the song. First time. But that the funny thing about it, at the time when rappers get on the song, they're getting on the song to co-sign the art. You know, if you do a song and you put Cardi B on the song, Cardi B is co-signing your singer.
Yeah.
Back then when I did that, it was me trying to market CL Smooth, because Johnny Gill had just came out of New Edition, NA Heartbreak. They had just sold 2 million albums, went on tour. So I was like, yo, I know Johnny Gill got at least 2 million fans, because New Edition went double platinum. If I put CL Smooth on the remix and it's hot, he's going to get exposed to all those people. So it was the total opposite reason. And then when we put out the Pete Rock and CL Smooth EP, I actually had a sticker on the EP that said Pete Rock and CL Smooth, and it said from the Johnny Gill Rub You the Right Way remix. It was a sticker on it. So I was doing it to set up to market my artists. It's a totally different reason now.
Smart. But, and during this time, you was also there for the beginning, I believe, of LaFace, and you became the VP of A&R?
Yeah, well, that was later on. So, So after the second album, LaFace had success with TLC, Toni Braxton. I want to say the first Usher album was coming out. And then, long story short, L.A. Reid called me again to remix the single for Creep. He had a bunch of people do the remix. He didn't like any of the remixes. And actually, true story, they had used so much money paying people, they didn't really have money, like a lot of money left. That was back when you had to pay for studio, first halves, everything. So I want to say he told me he spent $70,000 or $100,000 or something on it. And he said, man, we don't really have a budget. And I was a fan. I wasn't just in the music business. I was like, yo, my guys was L.A. Babyface, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, and Quincy Jones. Those were the guys. You know, those were the guys you looked up to. So when L.A. Reid caught me, I said, I'll do it for you. Just pay the studio time. You ain't got to worry about it. Just send me, you know. But I said, send me all other mixes. And I heard the mixes. I did a remix, sent it. He loved the mix. He called me like, you nailed it. And then he was excited. And then next day he called me and said, man, remember that A&R thing we was talking about? Man, we should do that. And then he hired me A&R gig. So the crazy thing about it, man, I tell people something I did for free that I just did because I just wanted to help, and I respected LA and Babyface as producers, end up turning into a 6-figure gig for me. I wasn't even looking for a gig. I just was trying to do it because I was like, yo, if I could help somebody that I admire, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it turned into a great situation, man.
And you also, am I correct? You also was the one that discovered Donnell Jones?
Yes. discovered Daniel Jones, signed him to LaFace. Also Kenny Green from Intro and Intro. Those were my artists.
Wow.
Kenny Green wrote all the first, you know, Mary stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also, Eric Milter and Dave Hall, who did You Remind Me from Mary. And this is where I was going.
Wow.
And then I worked with writers. I worked with, signed to my company. I had a songwriting joint venture. And I have Mary Brown. Mary Brown wrote No, 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 for Destiny's Child.
That's okay. Okay. Wow.
So what I'm getting at is when I look back, I see like all of these first singles, you know, either I Did Them or Somebody Untouchable Did, you know, Brownstone, If You Love Me, Grapevine, you know.
Wait, you did the Brownstone too? Wow.
Yeah, that was one of my guys.
And then Tory Lanez used that same sample.
Yeah.
For his, and he blew up from that. He blew up from that remix he did, or that sample he
and
used.
And Dream Lover and Fantasy from Mariah Carey, the first single, almost second and third album. Whew. And so when I look at the body of work of Untouchables and myself, I always see first in Case, Touch Me, Tease Me, his first single, Kenny Smooth, shout out Kenny Smooth, one of the Untouchables producers. So I see first single, launch off your career, remix. So that brings me to where I am now with Eddie F Presents. I said, you know what? I have this history of always helping artists and partnering with them and starting off. Like, it's always like their first single or the thing that launches their career. So now, you know, fast forward to today, you have a lot of artists out here that are trying to get noticed. But a lot of them are just making songs and just throwing them up out on, you know, they're throwing them up on the DSPs, and it's just out. So what I'm doing is I'm doing a hybrid. I'm picking artists that I like what they're doing. I'm collaborating with them, and then I'm featuring them on songs. And I'm saying, you know, Eddie F Presents featuring whoever the artist is. But then what I'm doing is I'm also promoting the songs. Like, instead of just throwing it out there and see what happens and see what sticks, we're putting it out, and then I'm actually, you know, I'm actually marketing it. I'm putting promotion behind it. I'm doing, you know, social media promotion. I'm doing, like, you know, radio mix show, you know, play, things like that, so that the song, at least, and the artist gets a chance to be, at least they be visible. They get a shot at, you didn't just throw your song out there and hope somebody sees it. Like, we're gonna make sure that people see it and hear it. And hopefully, if it's great music, which that I try to pick great music and curate great songs, that hopefully if it's great music, people will like it, and it'll help the person's career get started. And for me, you know, as a body of work, you know, if I could be involved in the next generation of just helping, you know, the next 3, 5, 10, 20 artists get, you know, their start, you know, that's what I'm looking for out of it. And that's the Eddie F Presents platform. And I'm just looking for artists. I'm just looking for talented people. And it's no strings attached either. It's like, it's not like, you know, You ain't signing with me. You're not locked down. It's not like, yo, I got the option to do 100 albums. It's just a song. It's
I
a
think
song.
One of the guys that put me on to DJ ADF was Charlamagne. Charlamagne the Bronx. The producer, yep. Charlamagne. He put me on to you back in the days, like 80s, 90s. He was the one that put me on to you.
Wow.
And y'all was only, because he's from the neighborhood, and I think it was only like a mile or 2 mile difference for where you guys were living at, the North Bronx, and then obviously Mount Vernon. But shout out to Charlamagne. Not the other guy, the real Charlamagne, producer for... Yep. Mary J. Blige. Y'all need to hook up. You guys need to hook up again.
Yeah, you got it. You can't even say the real Charlamagne. What you got to say is you got to say like 90s Charlamagne or 80s Charlamagne.
we're gonna get you guys hooked up, because y'all need to be doing music again.
These guys be having the same name. And man, it is funny, man. I appreciate both of them, man. I wouldn't want to call Charlamagne the God. The fake Charlamagne. He's still
with respect. With respect.
He's the new Charlamagne.
We're talking about all Charlamagne, the real Charlamagne.
And you got the 80s Charlamagne.
Yeah, you know? Well, we rocks with the 80s and the 90s Charlamagne.
Yeah.
We rocks
with. I got you.
Just to be clear. You. But we going to get you out on this, because we running low on time.
I got you.
Given the ADF Presents and all the people that you've been involved with as far as like artists, and you've seen the superstar artists before they've been superstars. So in your mind, because DJs are A&Rs, really. What makes a great artist?
Them to have talent as a songwriter and as a vocalist, sometimes as a performer, but not all the time. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. And it's funny, man. One of the first people I had this conversation with, and this was in the 90s, was L.A. Reid. I told him, I said, I believe there's two type of art. There's Michael Jackson, the star, who's the singer, dynamic performer, dancer, incredible choreography, everything. But there's also Stevie Wonder, who's not doing any kind of dancing or anything. He's a star because he makes incredible songs and his vocal ability is incredible. They both stars, you know, but it's two types, in my opinion. You know, the guys that and to say the same thing again, there's Alicia Keys and there's Beyonce. You know what I mean? They both superstars. It's just different. You know, you're not looking for Alicia Keys to go and do all of, she might do a little bit of dancing, but really she's a musician. She's an amazing pianist and her vocals are, and she's beautiful, but you know what I mean? So it's just different. To me, that's what makes an artist one of those combinations. Either incredible songwriter. Another one, Lionel Richie, you know, he'll dance a little bit, but what makes him great? Incredible songs. Amazing songs. Amazing vocals. You know what I mean? And then you got the other artists that are just dynamic performers. You got the Ushers, you got the Chris Browns, and so I just love to work with talent, man. It's actually, to be honest, it's very rewarding for me to work with artists and then kind of they get to that critical mass where they're like, they get that song and then I see people singing the song along with them. And I've been fortunate enough to experience that a few times. And I love that feeling. I just love working with somebody from the beginning and we're in the basement or we're in the, you know, studio. And then next thing you know, you go out and you see people like enjoying the music and sometimes drowning the artist out, singing the song. The artist can't even sing the song because the crowd is just singing it over them. I mean, it's an amazing feeling, man. I love to be involved in
it. And shout out to you, because a lot of people don't know that it was you behind the theme song of one of the greatest shows ever, In Living Color. That spawned the careers of over a dozen people.
Yes. And rest in power to Heavy D, of course. Heavy D and the Boys, legendary, all the time, every day.
Yep. And man, I'm really proud of that that In Living Color thing, man, because when we did, so many people tell me they love the song. And one of the things we wanted to do, that I set out to do doing the song, was I wanted to do a song that sounded like a record. That didn't, you know, it was back then, a lot of TV shows, they had songs, but they kind of sounded like jingles. It was like a certain way people did stuff for television. It sounded more like a TV song.
Right.
And I was like, man, I want this to be like something that could play in the club.
You changed
like
the scope.
A radio song.
And it was.
And now you know who's doing it? Who knows who's doing it to the next level? Shout out, man. Shout out 50, man. All his theme songs are crazy.
That's because he came up watching shows that you did the score. And you changed the whole scope of TV shows, music.
Yep.
You did
because
that.
Then people started making songs that sounded like songs. You know what I mean?
Like
you could listen to the, and like, you know what I was just saying, for example, with 50, like some of them songs, man, some of them songs is playing the club.
When
the song comes on, you get hyped. The song is a banger. You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, listen, Eddie, man, we appreciate you taking time out, man, to come through and talk to us about what you got going on and, you know, relive some history and all that. You know what I mean? We definitely appreciate it and appreciate you. And where can people get DJ Eddie F Presents and social media is all that kind of stuff, your contacts?
The best place is my Instagram, and it's at DJ Eddie F, at DJ EDDIEF, or you could go at DJ EDDIEF Presents, either one. And then all the links are right there in my bio, all the streaming, you know, if you're a DJ, the DJ downloads, and then all the links to all my other socials and everything. Everything's up there, YouTube, TikTok, you know, SoundCloud, they all up there.
We got to link up with friends because you got to get back up with Charlamagne. Y'all got to get that. That's that vibe. You guys got to get that vibe going. Definitely.
Yeah, man.
No doubt, man. Well, thanks again, man. We appreciate it.
Okay, man. Thank you, man.
And happy Hip Hop 50 to you.
Oh, yeah, man. Same to you. Happy Hip Hop 50 for sure.
Absolutely. All right, bro. Peace.
All right.
It's Thermal Sound Waves, a natural alternative to fast food radio. We here, C-Truth.
That's correct.
Thermal Sound Wave.